this flute. So we'll chant the first verse, but first I'll read the introduction, so we'll keep things in the correct order. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamara Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tambitam Samjivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Ndapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwade Vishabhanu. After summary, this chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna entered the enchanting forest of Vrindavan upon the arrival of autumn and the praises the young girls, cowherd girls, sang when they heard the vibration of his flute. As Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and their cowherd friends entered the forest to graze the cows, Krishna began playing his flute. The gopis heard the enchanting flute song and understood that Krishna was entering the forest. Then they narrated to each other the Lord's various activities. The gopis declared, "To see Lord Krishna playing his flute while taking the cows to pasture is the highest perfection for the eyes. What pious activities has this flute performed that enable him to freely drink the nectar of Sri Krishna's lips, a blessing we cowherd girls find difficult to achieve? Hearing the song of Krishna's flute, the peacocks dance and all the other creatures become stunned when they see them. Demigoddesses traveling through the sky in their airplanes are vexed by Cupid and their garments become loose. The ears of the cows stand on end as they drink the nectar of this flute song. Their calves simply stand stunned. The milk they have been drinking from their mother's udder is still in their mouths. The birds take shelter of the branches of the trees and close their eyes, listening to the song of Krishna's flute with rapt attention. The flowing rivers become perturbed by conjugal attraction for Krishna, and stopping their flow, embrace Krishna's lotus feet with the arms of their waves, and while the clouds serve as parasols to shade Krishna's head from the hot sun. The aborigine women of the Shabara race see the grass stained by the red kumkum adorning the Lord's lotus feet, smear this vermilion powder upon their breasts and faces to alleviate the distress created by Cupid. Govardhan Hill offers grass and various kinds of fruits and bulbous roots in worship of Lord Sri Krishna. All non-moving living beings take on the characteristics of moving creatures, and the moving living beings become stationary. These things are all very wonderful." So text one. Sri Sukha Uvacha Itam Sharat Swacha Chalam Itam sharat svacha jalam Badmakaras sugandina Badmakaras sugandina Nyavishad vayunabhatam Nyavishad vayunabhatam Sago Gopalako Chucha. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Shisuku Vacha. Itam Sharat Svacha Jalam. Padmakara Sugandina. Nyavishad Vayunavatam. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Shisuku Vacha. Itam Sharat Svacha Jalam. Padmakara Sugandina. Nyavishad Vayunavatam. Sago Gopalako Nyuchucha. Please chant. Gandina. Itam Shara Pachajalam. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Ladies. Itam Sharat Svacha Jalam. Padmakara Sugandina. Nyavishad Vayunavatam. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Itam Sharat Svacha Jalam. Padmakara Sugandina. Nyavishad Vayunavatam. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Itam Sharat Sharat Malam. Padmakara Sugandina. Nyavishad Vayunavatam. Sago Gopalako Chucha. Shisuku Vacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Itam, in this way, Sharat of the fall season, Swacha, clear, Jalam, having water, Padma-akara, from the lake filled with lotus flowers, Sugandina, with the sweet fragrance. Nyavishat, he entered. Vayuna, by the breeze. Vatam, ventilated. Sa, with. Go, the cows. Gopalaka, and the cowherd boys. Achucha, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters and cooled by breezes perfumed with the fragrance of lotus flowers growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and the cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest. Please repeat. Shukadev Goswami said, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with the transparent autumnal waters. And cooled by breezes, perfumed with the fragrance of lotus flowers, growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest. There's no purport here. So I will read through texts 2 through 5. Kushumita vanaraji shushmi bringa dvijakula gushra shara sharin mahidram madupatir avagai avagya charayanka saha pashu pala balash Chukuja Venum. The lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maddened bees and flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys and Balaram, Madhupati Sri Krishna entered that forest, and while herding the cows, he began to vibrate his flute. Purport. As suggested by the words Chukuj Venum, Lord Krishna skillfully blended the sound of his flute with the lovely sounds of Vrindavan's multicolored birds. Thus an irresistible heavenly vibration was created. Text 3. Tadvrajastriya Ashrutya Venum Gitam Smarodayam Kaschit paroksham krishnasya sva sakibyo navarnayam. When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Raja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. Text 4. Tadvarnayitam arabhya smarantya krishna chestitam nashaktan smaravegan nikshto manaso nripa. The cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, O king, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds, and thus they could not speak. Kanikaram bibadvasa kanakam kapisham vajayantyam chamalim randram venor adara sarai purayan gopa vrindayar vrindaranyam swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. Beautifying it with the marks of his footprints, he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Purport. The gopis remembered all the transcendental qualities of Krishna's mentioned in this verse. Krishna's artful way of dressing and the beautiful blue flowers placed over his ears excited the gopis' romantic desires. As he poured the nectar of his lips into his flute, they simply lost themselves in ecstatic love for him. So, in these verses, personally I found them incredible verses that even one of them could be spoken about for many days. Because these are the wonderful realizations of the speaker, Sukadeva Goswami, and the gopis of Vrindavan, about the wonderful nature of Krishna's flute, Krishna's entering the forest, and Krishna's dress, his appearance, which are all subjects of deep meditation. For all the residents of Vrindavan, and specifically the gopis, they meditate and keep these thoughts and descriptions deep in their heart, and they become absorbed in them moment after moment. So, in text one, we see that the gopis are there inspired by Krishna's flute song, and they are going to repeatedly sing the glories of this flute throughout this chapter. And describe the various wonderful effects that flute song has upon all living beings, whether they're animate, moving, or inanimate, unmoving. Such is the power of Krishna's flute. They'll praise all the different animals, such as the birds and many others. They'll praise the demigoddesses and the forests of Vrindavan. And the gopis will tell us what they see through their eyes, but not these eyes, but through the eyes of their heart. The charming pastimes of Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan. They're going to give us that vision that they see what they are perceiving, what they are contemplating, which is so deep and so wonderful and so full of bhakti. So Sukadeva Goswami here, he's first describing the entrance of Lord Krishna into Vrindavan. A wonderful, beautiful scene, which we've been hearing in the previous chapter about the nature of the Vrindavan forest and the wonderful arrangements and facilities and features of that forest that are all present there just to inspire Krishna in his beautiful pastimes and inspire his devotees in their loving service to Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing this and how the forest is being decorated by the season of autumn. We know that when autumn comes, the heat of the summer is gone, as was described in the previous chapter, and it becomes very wonderful, full of flowers, full of refreshing fragrances, and very suitable for Krishna's pastimes. So this pastime here that's going to be described of Krishna's flute is also inspiring this whole autumn season and is intimately connected with this season. As we know, we'll find later on that Krishna's rasa dance is one of these prominent pastimes in this season and has certainly inspired the gopis with his flute to perform such intimate service. And here we also hear about the winds, the cool breezes blowing, fragrant smells of the lotus flower. And these winds are very gentle, as Vishnudatta Chakravarti Thakur describes. They're not a strong breeze, but a very gentle breeze that gently brings these smells of the newly blossomed lotuses and other flowers and fills the whole Vrindavan forest with these wonderful, beautiful scents, so much pleasing to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we are given this whole vision, this whole setting to which Krishna is now entering. Mm. Just as in a great drama, there's a wonderful setting of how the stage is set, who the characters are going to be, so that a wonderful activity will be performed that will captivate everybody's attention and allow a wonderful exchange that is so inspiring, so deeply moving, especially to the gopis, to be enacted. Mm. So here, this is the setting to which Krishna is now entering. Mm. And in text 2, Krishna is being referred to in this verse as Madhupati. Mm. Madhu is a name of Krishna, but it also refers to the spring season. So Krishna is known as the Lord of Spring, because in the spring season he also performs many pastimes, and the spring is exceptionally inspiring to the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan as Krishna enters the forest and performs so many pastimes. So in particular, Krishna, he's entering the forest, but as the Lord of the spring season. So these two factors, they intertwine. And the beauty of spring and all the spring flowers occur because of Krishna's presence in the autumn season as well. So now we have the combination of the two wonderful seasons of the year to inspire Krishna's pastimes even further. Mm. This is the power of Krishna's energies and his presence in the forest, that the forest naturally blossoms into these spring flowers as well. And here we see that Krishna is going to be herding the cows and accompanied by the cowherd boys. And this is going to be a great vision of meditation for the gopis. Mm. They constantly meditate on this picture of Krishna with the cows and the cowherd boys entering the forest. And it is deep within their heart. Mm. So they are focused on that meditation. Mm. And it is inspiring them. And as he's entering the forest, he's vibrating the flute. Mm. But we know also that Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they also have flutes. Mm. But none of them are playing their flutes now. Only Krishna. So only Krishna's flute song is inspiring this whole meditation of the gopis. Very deep meditation that would form, coming simply as an irresistible heavenly vibration that permeates not only the forest but reaches the gopis' ears. And the gopis, as we see, they become overwhelmed with love for Krishna. And they will admire and they will praise and describe the effects of this flute, not only on their own hearts, but specifically on all the different residents of Vrindavan, how they are affected, the clouds, how they are affected, how the deer are affected, how the Aboriginal women are affected, how the rocks and stones are affected, how Govardhan Hill is being affected by hearing Krishna's flute. Mm. So this flute is an incredible moving sound which attracts all living entities. Mm. It attracts them not in a mundane way, but within the deepest core of their heart, inspires their love and devotion for Krishna. Mm. And they become so absorbed in that sound that they totally forget themselves. The non-moving living entities like the rocks, they melt, they become mobile, and they move they melt and change. The rivers, which are always flowing and moving, they stop. They don't move anymore. and they're making so many offerings to Krishna of lotus flowers with what would be described the waves of their hands. And so many others are inspired in their own way, very deeply towards Krishna. And these descriptions are all very wonderful and absorbing, but they're not just meant to be like scholarly descriptions. Oh, this is what Krishna does, this is his flute, this is what the... But actually there are subjects of deep meditation that are meant to, for us to carry in our hearts day by day, moment by moment, and become absorbed in, to become hankering towards hearing those sounds and seeing this beautiful scene of Krishna entering the forest. So this is exceptional section of the Bhagavatam. Each verse we could talk on for many days because it is so deeply describing Krishna in his height of his beauty and attraction and intimate pastimes. And these verses are the essence of how we want to relate to Krishna, how we want to understand him. Not like the yogis who want to meditate and see Krishna as the Paramatma in our hearts. When Krishna sent his messenger, Uddhava, to speak to the gopis and inspire them because he had been absent for so long, he gave them this message that I know you're feeling great separation from me, but simply meditate on me within your heart. So this was his message, and the gopis, they rejected this message. They said, we can't do this. We're not going to do this. And again, Krishna repeated this message at Kurukshetra when the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan came to meet him. And the gopis said, you're being duplicitous. You know who we are. You know our feelings for you. Why are you telling us to meditate like this? So this is a bit remarkable because Narada Muni, his description is there in the first canto, how he went into the forest and he sat down meditating on Krishna within his heart. Then he saw Krishna and his realization blossomed. Became deeply absorbed by that appearance of Lord Krishna who came from his heart. Dhruva Maharaj, the same way. He was meditating deeply on Krishna within his heart. And suddenly, when he couldn't see him anymore, he was agitated and opened his eyes, and there he was in that same form in front of him. So these meditation activities are performed by great devotees, yet the gopis said, no, we can't do this. This is not for us. Why? Why did they say that? It's because they were absorbed in Krishna's personal form and they were so overwhelmed with loving feelings for him that these forms of meditation were inconsequential. They had no meaning, no value to them. They were meditating on this scene, Krishna entering the forest and playing his flute. Blowing on his flute and the effects on all living entities and the effects on their own hearts. So the gopis heard this flute song as described in text 3 and they wanted to immediately start describing their feelings, their visions, their thoughts about Krishna to their friends. Now they couldn't describe this just to anyone because they're not supposed to be thinking about Krishna, according to their traditions. They're supposed to be thinking about their husbands and their families. So to be thinking on another young boy would be unacceptable. So they kept these feelings very confidential in their heart. They couldn't describe to others But they wanted to describe to their friends and tell them very privately all these wonderful qualities and meditations on Krishna. They were inspired by their loving feelings of affection for Krishna. That was what they're feeling within their heart. But we have to understand even deeper something, what's going on. Another thing that's happening here is the gopis. Are they standing there watching Krishna entering the forest? No, they're far away. They cannot actually see Krishna. They may hear his flute song, but they see Krishna and the cows. They see the dust coming from the cows' hooves raising up into the sky. And all these thoughts and meditations then appear in their mind, in their heart. They see from their heart these deep meditations. Because that is their nature of their vision. They're seeing with their heart, not just with their eyes. We see with our eyes. But in reality, seeing with the heart is much deeper. It is powered by love. And that inspiration of their thoughts, their meditations, is far beyond the meditations of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. These meditations they have, they're able to see things what Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot see. Because their hearts and their eyes are tinged with this deep, deep love for Krishna. That is the nature of their heart and their feelings, so deep that it doesn't compare to any other beings in their meditations. And not to Narada Muni, not to Dhruva Maharaj, Brahma, Shiva. Their meditations are so much deeper. So therefore they can see things that others cannot see. So as we reach text 4, we understand that the girls, cowherd girls, are trying to describe Krishna, his activities. But their hearts and their minds are now very disturbed by their emotions, by their bhava, by their feelings of love and for Krishna. And they can't speak anymore. So the gopis here are empowering someone to speak on behalf of them. They're empowering Shukadev Goswami, who we know from the Vedic literatures is actually the parrot of Radharani. So they're empowering him to speak through the pages of the Bhagavatam. You give us this description which is there within his heart, within their hearts. This picture of Krishna wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head with blue Karnikara flowers behind on each ear, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajayanti garland. That he is coming in the form of the greatest of dancers and entering the forest and playing on his flute. And he's beautifying the forest with the marks of his footprints. His footprints are also quite extraordinary. They're so revered by appreciated by the residents of Vrindavan that they all get together and agree that no one will disturb those footprints. No one will step on those footprints because they're so devoted to Lord Krishna, they cannot imagine disturbing. The cows they will not step on, the cowherd boys, none of the animals will step on these footprints. And so these footprints are extraordinary, so wonderful. And we'll hear about the Aborigine women and their feelings about those footprints and how they rub them on their bodies and become inspired with transcendental love for Lord Krishna. Just taking the dust of Krishna's footprints. So these gopis, we are hearing their feelings, which are so, they've become rendered helpless by these deep feelings. They cannot even speak anymore. Such is the nature of these deep feelings. So if we look at Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Yayatamam prapadyante. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So this is Krishna's general statement to all devotees. But when Krishna spoke to the gopis of Vrindavan, he said, your love is so complete, so deep. I cannot reciprocate. I cannot reward you. I have nothing I can give you. Your devotion itself is your reward. So deep is their love and affection for Krishna that he could not reciprocate properly. So we are to take example and take inspiration from these descriptions of the gopis' meditation and become deeply inspired to follow in their footsteps of surrendering to Krishna. Krishna's wonderful form is being described here. This form is so wonderful because here, in particular, he's appearing as a great dancer. So dancers are, they dress not like ordinary people, not like these white dhotis and kurtas, but they have very wonderful, colorful outfits. And Krishna is wearing this garland full of five different colors. And when the gopis see this dress of Krishna, they know something extraordinary will happen today. Something very wonderful. Krishna is going to dance. And they're meditating on who is that lucky person or persons who will see and maybe participate in that dance. This is what they are thinking. They're so deep in their thoughts that they're wondering who that will be. And of course we know it will be them. But they're not thinking they're that fortunate. They're thinking someone else will be more fortunate than us. And just as they will glorify the Krishna's flute song and think everyone else is more fortunate being affected by this flute song than we are. But in reality, their realization is much deeper than anyone else. And therefore their humility and feeling unqualified reaches a great height, summit, that is very difficult to attain. And such is the nature of the gopis' deep, deep feelings for Krishna. They feel everyone else has had more appreciation, more affection, more feelings for Krishna than we do. We have nothing. They feel that the flute is being so wonderfully benefited by attaining the nectar of Krishna's lips, and they are not so fortunate. And all these combine as their meditations of deep, deep ecstatic love for Krishna. The gopis, they are seeing Krishna like this, his beautiful form, ready, going into the forest, dancing and the dress of a dancer and playing the beautiful flute. So it is not like us ordinary persons who are coming, we see the deities for 10 minutes or an hour, and then we go away. But they are seeing this picture of Krishna moment after moment after moment. They're meditating so deeply on this form. They want to see it, they want to taste it again and again. Because they have no personal desire, no conditions, no limits on their love. Therefore, they want to see it again and again. They're never satisfied with whatever they're able to achieve in Krishna's pastimes. So these verses are all extremely wonderful. And each one can be discussed in great detail. Books can be written and discussions for many days can be had because these are also meant to be our subjects for meditation. how we are supposed to capture Krishna within our hearts. So wonderful and attractive. We are so very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna in this form. So therefore we're not attracted to other forms, even to so much to Vishnu or Narayan, and certainly not to demigods. We are attracted to Krishna in this beautiful appearance. And this can inspire us to perform so many services to Krishna and to become absorbed moment by moment, so much that we feel we're never rendering enough service. Great, great Paramahamsas, they're serving Krishna with their mind, their body, and their words constantly, but they feel it's not enough. I have to surrender more. So that every atom of my being is serving Krishna at every moment. So much deep feeling they have coming from these high levels of realization. So perhaps I can stop here. If anyone would like to make some comment, question, or addition, glad to hear from all great devotees. Yes, Prabhu. So you have mentioned one important word that will give us the clue to the answer to your question. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And he came to this world not just to appreciate the gopis' sentiments as being very high and elevated, but he wanted to taste them. He wanted to become absorbed in them, and practically he did. And not only for himself, but he wanted to give it to all of us, that same opportunity. And that opportunity to become deeply absorbed in the moods and the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan is so high and so complete that everything else does become minimized. Like the gopis, one time they were searching for Lord Krishna. So Krishna hid himself and then appeared as four-armed Narayan. And they came in front of Narayan, they said, Namaste, obeisances, my dear Lord Narayan. Now they're seeing Narayan, the same Narayan that Dhruva Maharaj became ecstatic seeing. And what do they say? Could you tell us, did Krishna go by here? You know everything. Where did Krishna go? They weren't interested in worshiping Narayan. They wanted to know where Krishna was. That's all. Because their love and their affection with him was single-pointed, so focused, that everything else was excluded. So that is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach us. That is what our acharyas are bringing to us. Staged step by step, that particular mood, that particular feeling of devotion given by the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly gopis. And this is a storehouse, a treasure house, not just a box of jewels. It is a giant house, not only just a house, but sometimes described as an ocean of wonderful nectarian qualities and pastimes that Krishna has, and the gopis are just diving in it again and again, moment by moment. No desire to ever leave that. So satisfying, so complete it is, that they have no desire to discuss Narayan or to consider meditation on the Paramatma or Vishnu forms. They're criticizing Krishna. They say, why are you telling us to do this? You're being duplicitous. You know we can't do it. You know where our hearts are. It's only on you. We're focused, single-pointed on you. So don't distract us. We're not interested in that. All the great yogis, that's all they want. And they say, we are not interested. Why? Because they have something much, much higher. Much, much sweeter. So wonderful. And it's given to us by Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada and all the predecessor acharyas. So, as they say, you know, when you have $1 million, all your $5 and $10 problems are insignificant. Jai Srila Prabhupada. You wrote a question, or you have some special...
It's a kind of, continuation. I think you so nicely answered part of the question earlier. Mm-hmm. After your amazing description just now, you mentioned earlier that the gopis, although they're so fixed in that way, they feel themselves to be nothing in comparison to all others who serve Krishna. So Prabhu's question, it appears you could become very proud. Yeah, we're not interested in Narayan. We're not interested in that feeling of pride that seems to appear there.
Mm-hmm.
Minimizing it. It's going very nicely that the gopis were feeling themselves to be nothing in comparison to all others.
Yes, thank you for that. There's a... Because Lord Chaitanya explained that this is one of our qualities for devotion, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishna, that we have to be more humble than a blade of grass, devoid of all false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. So, yes, they're very humble. Very humble, definitely. But at the same time, that is combined with a single-pointed focus and deep, deep feelings. Anyone else have another question or point? Any other points? No? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Shukadeva Goswami.